Is this okay? Loud enough? All right. Cool. All right. So we've got miles to go before we sleep. So I just want to pray the Lord will help us that I can get out when I need to get out. And I'll just say this before I pray. This message that I'm kind of unpacking today, I have it online. So anybody come up to me afterwards, I'll send you the notes I'm using. I think some of you might want them. So anyway, just come up to me, give me a cell phone. Whatever, I'll send them to you. So Lord, help us today. I just pray that, believing God, that this is a message that you want us to think about this morning, consider. And so I pray that you'd help me. I pray that you'd anoint this time in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the title of this message this morning is The Holy Spirit Makes Us Holy. All right? Super controversial, right? The Holy Spirit makes us holy. All right? And so just, you got the title, and I hope that everything that I share will kind of be related to that. But anyway, so in general, you know, my brother-in-law, oh, by the way, my father-in-law, John, is here, and my daughter's boyfriend is here, Patrick. Just raise your hands. Anyway, so I want to say hi. All right, so my brother-in-law sent me a verse to consider. He said, you know, what do you think about John 16:8, where it says, the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will convict the world regarding sin and righteousness and judgment. So we can all agree that there's a general work of the Holy Spirit across the planet that is John 16:8. But the thing that we want to consider this morning is the Holy Spirit's work in the life of the believer. And about 150 years ago, there was 125, well, about 150 years ago, there was a huge divide in the Christian church, and I should say the Protestant Christian church, over this very issue of what is primarily the work of the Spirit in the life of a believer. And the holiness churches and those that were influenced by there, they said the primary work of the Holy Spirit is sanctification and holiness. And it wasn't that the other camp was disagreeing, but the other camp, and you know where they went. We heard about them this morning what's his name? Matt Lowry or Lowry, the comedian, he was talking about the Pentecostals. They wanted to emphasize, no, the group that became the Pentecostals wanted to emphasize, no, the Spirit's work in the life of the believer is to empower us. And sadly, there was kind of like a divorce in the church at that time between those that walked away with emphasizing holiness and those that went another direction to emphasize power. Well, I'm a both and kind of a guy. I think we need the power. I think we need the holiness. And so, you know, what does Acts 1:8 say? It says, when the Spirit comes, you will receive power. So it's biblical, you know? I'm not even, you know, you guys are like, this guy's like charismatic. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. This is going to be a divisive message. No, it's not. Because I'm going to talk about the other side of the ledger, which is that the Holy Spirit came to make us holy. All right, so let me just read a couple of verses here in Acts chapter 2. Here's Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on in verse 40, save yourselves from this perverse or wicked generation. Who was Peter preaching to on the day of Pentecost? He wasn't preaching to like pagan unbelievers. He was preaching to believing Jews. And he was giving them a key to what was happening there on the day of Pentecost. We understand the power part. We study that. Some people want to keep that in the Bible. Some people want it today. But we can all agree that when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, there was powerful things that were happening. But sometimes I think that we've missed that there was another operation of the Spirit on that day, which was that he wanted to save people from a perverse and a wicked generation. Now, we live in a day that I think would rival any perverse and wicked generation throughout history. I think we could all agree to that. And we're going to look at that a little bit today in this time. But anyway, It was the great A.W. Tozer who said this about the Holy Spirit. He says, I don't care what you want to say the Holy Spirit is going to do in the life of a believer, but minimally, he's coming to make us holy. What's his name? Is it Power Spirit? Hey, Power. No. His name is the Holy Spirit. His name is Holy Spirit. And the more, you know, there's a lot of people that talk a lot about the Holy Spirit. But I want to tell you this. If their life is not characterized by a life of holiness, don't listen to them. I don't care how much power they say they have. If their life is not holy, I would question the spirit in which they are operating. And I speak to my own camp, my own charismatic side of the church. There's lots of people that have shown us lives that were not holy. And I know Pete, and I've known ever since I've known Pete, Pete has been a holiness preacher. However he wants to emphasize it, this has been a group of men since the beginning that has emphasized the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives to make us holy. Now I want to tell you guys a story today that I didn't know for years, and I hope this will give us understanding about the days in which we're living. That's kind of where I want to go to. I want to bring us, it's not a new message, but I think it's a forgotten one. So we all know that the biggest problem that we had started in the garden, right? The fall. Genesis chapter 3. Most of us would say the world is so screwed up today because of what happened in the garden. But what we don't realize is that there were some other things that happened in the book of Genesis that have led to where we are today, and that's what I want to get into now. If you were to ask a Jew living at the time that Jesus was alive on the planet, why is the world so screwed up? He would have said there's three reasons. Genesis 3, Genesis 6, and Genesis 11. So some of you are like, what's he talking about? I know Genesis 3. That's the fall. I thought that was the whole enchilada. Okay? I want to tell you, it started in Genesis 3. But the reason that Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost to save yourself from a perverse and wicked generation was because of what happened in Genesis chapter 6. So I'm going to read a little bit out of Genesis chapter 6. Well, let me say this about an Old Testament scholar who I really like. He says this, we became sinners because of the fall of Adam in Genesis 3. But what happened in Genesis 6, the fall of the watchers taught mankind to be even better sinners. People, what happened in Genesis chapter 3 is we became sinners 101. But the PhD in sin happened after Genesis chapter 6. Well, we got a phone. All right. So let me read Genesis chapter 6. Eight verses. When man began to multiply in the face of the land and the daughters were born of them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were attractive and they took as their wives any they chose. Then the Lord said, my spirit shall not abide in man forever, for he is flesh. His days shall be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days and afterward. And when the sons of God came into the daughters of man, and they bore children to them. These were the mighty men, were of old, the men of renown. The Lord saw, here it is, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continuously. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the earth, man and animals and creeping things and the birds of the heavens, for I'm sorry that I've made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. All right. So those are the eight verses that early Christians, the Jews, all believed. Whatever happened in those verses caused an explosion of perversity on the planet that was mostly sexual in nature. So there was the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden. And what did Jesus say? Because I want to get to this verse. He says, Matthew 27. He says, "For as were the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the days of the Son of Man." So what were the days of Noah like? The days of Noah were this explosion of perversity that got so bad that it precipitated the flood. It was like evil was ramping up. And then in Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, it flew through the ceiling. Now, some of you are like, "This seems strange. I've seen those verses before. Those are weird verses. I don't understand them. Don't scholars debate what those mean?" Well, I want to tell you right now that what I'm telling you today in terms of this perspective on Genesis chapter 6, I'm just going to name a few names of people that you guys know. Anybody know Dr. John MacArthur? My kids went to Masters University. This is what he believed about Genesis chapter 6. How about Pastor Chuck Smith? Anybody here sit under Pastor Chuck Smith? Anybody know Chuck Missler, you know, who came out of Calvary Chapel? How about any Reformed guys? A.W. Pink or Donald Grave Barnhouse? These are some of the people that believe that what happened in Genesis chapter 6 was a horrible perversion on the planet that caused evil to ramp up. But it wasn't just, you know, I just named some modern guys, but this is what Clement of Rome, a personal disciple of the Apostle Peter, believed. It's what Justin Martyr believed in the second century. It's what Athenagoras believed in the second century. It's what Irenaeus, great apologist in the second century, believed. Clement of Alexandria, Tertullian. This was the uniform view of the early church, that something happened in Genesis chapter 6, which is relevant to what was going to happen after the fact. And the coming of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost wasn't just to empower believers, but it was to address and to undo the defilement that went ballistic in Genesis chapter 6. And now Jesus says that when he comes, it will be as in the days of Noah. Now, as in the days of Noah also means that there's going to be sudden judgment that comes. That was also in the days of Noah. But if you listen, and I went to John MacArthur's commentary on this and others, they would say, as in the days of Noah is not just the suddenness of the judgment, but it's also an explosion of perversion on the planet, unlike anything that we have seen since Genesis chapter 6. So let me tell you some statistics that will shock you if you did not know these statistics. I think you're familiar with at least the general idea here. In 1978, only 5% of American men had seen hardcore pornography in a video format. 1978. Some of you are like, "I was one of them. I went to a stag party in the 70s or the 60s or what, the 50s. I don't know when you were living in the darkest days of your life, but you're like, that would have been me. Okay, 5% of Americans males had seen hardcore pornography in a video format. Now, of course, Playboy was around and all sorts of print pornography was going, but I'm talking about hardcore pornography in a film format. Well, fast forward 7 years to 1985. You know what it was in 1985? 55%. What happened in 1978? It's the invention of a little machine called the Betamax. The Betamax, the VHS, videos in the home. All right? So I don't know what the statistic is in 2022. But the fact that any kid with a smartphone can click on something and is watching not just the grainy stuff that you used to watch on a VHS tape or a Betamax or somebody recorded something, high definition pornography coming through immediately on the phone. I don't know what the statistic is. Are we not living in the days of Noah? What is happening in our culture? Could anybody in here say that they have heard of a marriage that got wiped out because of porn? People are like, that would be my marriage. That would have been my first marriage, my second marriage. I mean, we are living in an epidemic, right? And so why is this message so relevant? We have a message of freedom because the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost to deliver believing Jews from the defilement that they were living in. And the good news is in 2022 is that same Holy Spirit is moving today to deliver this generation and to give us the same message. Save yourselves from this perverse generation. Why am I talking to Christian men about this issue? Because we've been defiled. I am not unaware of the fact that last night some of you were defiled. Some of, and if I just go back a couple of days of this week, how many of us are untouched by this defilement? It comes everywhere. It comes in our email attachment. It comes on our phones. It's in half the movies that we watch. It's in the entertainment that comes on. It's everywhere. Are we not living in something akin to the days of Noah? Are we not living in something akin to the days of Noah? Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 24. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death. And you will be hated. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. Are we not living in days that are described here? Has there been an increase in hatred? Crazy, the level of hatred that we're seeing, you know? Many will fall away. We were praying today in the prayer room before about Christian friends, family members that have fallen away, that have walked away from Jesus. Lord, get them back. Bring them back. Do something. Many will fall away, betray one another. Many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. That's the little verse I wanted to highlight. Lawlessness will be increased. Right now, the month of June in the United States, we are celebrating. I'm not saying we are celebrating, but the culture is celebrating a month, they're calling it Pride Month, where they are celebrating perversion. They're celebrating it. Are we not in the days of Noah? Are we not in the days of Noah? Now, I got to go back. I got to go back and I have to say something about Genesis chapter 6. Because if you get into ancient Jewish commentaries on what Genesis 6 was all about, and I have extensive notes on this, but when those angelic beings came to the planet. And when I said Chuck Smith and Dr. John MacArthur and all of the early church fathers and the apostles themselves, Peter references this, Jude references this, they all believed that that was not one tribe of men and women, that those were somehow angelic beings that were able to cross species and defile human women. And by doing that, The floodgates of immorality exploded. And they believe, it was in their commentary, it was believed that this is when homosexuality exploded. It is when bestiality exploded. Did you notice there in Genesis chapter 6 where God says, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and then he prescribes the flood to wipe out who? Men and animals. What did the animals do? The entire planet was infected with this. And then have you ever wondered, why was Joshua commanded to go in to Canaan and wipe out everything? Because the residue of this defilement from Genesis chapter 6 was still in the land. I never understood, why was God so thorough, so like everything had to be wiped out because everything had been defiled because of what happened. And And this was what happened. There was this explosion. And I really believe that if you study the last 100 years of human history, you will see that stuff has taken root and become normalized in culture today. And of course, now we live in a global culture. So whatever happens here gets, you know, instantaneously communicated around the world. Instantaneously. A video goes viral. Instantaneously, kids are watching it halfway around the world on their smartphones. Are we not living in those days? And what is the apostles' word to us? Save yourself, believing Christian men. Let us save ourselves from this perverse generation. How can we get other people free from the defilement when we ourselves are defiled? This is not a message of legalism and rules. It's a message of freedom. It's a message of freedom. Here are the latest porn statistics that I was able to get. 2/3 of the men that are regularly in church, or who are in church today, are regularly watching porn. 2/3. The other 1/3 is here. But 2/3 of those guys out there are watching porn. 2/3. 1/3 of the women in church are watching porn. You know, I remember when I was first a missionary in London, I was a street evangelist. Loved to talk about stories from, we just moved back from the Middle East and are here now. I'd love to share stories about this week ministering to people that we met. But that's not the message the Lord has today. But I remember as a young missionary, I was in a bookstore in London, and I went into a bookstore, and I noticed that there was this, you know, huge bookstore. It's like a Barnes and Noble or something like that. I'm looking around, and, you know, now we, who cares about bookstores, right? You just download a book, whatever. But, you know, back in the day, you know, bookstores. But bookstores can be dangerous places. So I see a staircase, and so I walk over, and I start walking down this staircase because I realize there's a whole basement to this bookstore. And I was about halfway down the stairs, and I could see from the distance and the coloring of what I was looking at, oh, this is a different type of bookstore, the downstairs part. A little different. It was only men that were down there. But here was the thing I remember. Here I'm a missionary, I'm in my 20s, and, you know, fighting to live a holy life and a pure life and, you know, battling. And you know, I'm living on the streets of London. You know, it's anybody, if you ever remember back in the day in London, I don't know what it's like now. I haven't been to London in a long time. But you would go to a phone booth and there would be pictures of prostitutes everywhere. These phone cards everywhere. I mean, you know, it's hard to, you know, you got to avert your eyes. But I sat there in this bookstore. I was looking down and I took note. I saw a bunch of men, and the average age of the man that I was looking at from that staircase, by the grace of God, I did not keep going down the stairs. I stayed there, and I looked, and I said, if anybody thinks that pornography is a problem that men outgrow, why was the average age of the man I was looking at in that bookstore probably 65 years of age? It wasn't a bunch of 20-year-old guys. You know, we used to sneak into the liquor store and go behind the wall, and the guy would come and catch us, you know, Costa Mesa, Harbor Boulevard, you know. I can tell you, I grew up around here. You know, I still drive by those old liquor stores. They're still there, and I'm, you know, I can still remember where the magazines were. Anyway, but I'll tell you right now, the landscape has changed, because I'll tell you right now, this was not the case that 1/3 of our women were addicted to porn. That's changed. As in the days of Noah, there is an increase in perversion in the day that we're living in. Now, here's the one that is probably the most shocking. I said 2/3 of the men. I said 1/3 of the women. 50% of our pastors. 50% of the pastors in America regularly looking at porn. We want to be salt and light in this culture, church. We want to have an influence. And these are where we're at. 2/3 of our men, 1/3 of our women, and 50% of our pastors are defiled by this. Are we not living in the days of Noah? So I'm going to, you know, this is like, you know, it's like Dave's trying to depress us today. And we thought it was bad enough. We've been looking at the culture. We're looking at the globe. We're looking, our problems have problems. Anybody's looked at their, you know, don't do it. But if you looked at your, you know, stock portfolio in the last 2 months, it's just terrible what's going on. Gas prices, everything, our culture's ripped apart. Do we have to get more bad news? I thought we were coming in here to build each other up. I want us to be sober. You know, when we sang Band of Brothers today, it was so powerful because I realized some of us in here have been, you know, some of us in here, some of the men in here, I know your stories. You've been delivered from addiction to alcohol. You had an addiction to alcohol, and you were delivered. Okay. I got a few more minutes. All right. So anyway, I just saw, you know, I saw somebody. I took my glasses off, so I can't see any of you guys. I can't read my phone if I have my glasses on, and plus I can't see if any of you are like ticked off and rolling your eyes either. So don't worry. If you're judging me, I don't feel it because I don't see it. Anyway, so get this. So, well, I lost my train of thought. I'm going to come back. Where was I? Addiction. Thank you very much. Addiction. So as we were singing that song, Band of Brothers, I realized some of you, when you were in that dark place and you're like, I've got to have a drink. But you had a phone number and you called a brother. You called somebody. They were in your 12-step program. And what did they do? They dropped what they were doing. It was 11 at night and they showed up at your house and they were going to stay with you until the shaking stopped, right? Some of you got free from your alcohol addiction that way. Guys, we have to step it up when it comes to, I can't stop looking at porn. I can't stop clicking on the things on my computer. I can't stop whatever. And guys just have to say, where are you? I'm coming to join you. We have to take as seriously getting men free from this as we did. Alcoholics Anonymous, they understood. It wasn't like, hey, guess what, guys? Remember Alcoholics Anonymous? It's not like, hey, guys, we're going to try to be really good with alcohol 6 days out of the week. But on Fridays, it's Whiskey Creek. Was that their approach? No. You know, similarly, it's not like, hey, guys, we're going to try to get this porn thing out of our life, but Tuesday, that's porn day. Indulge on Tuesday. Porn on Tuesdays. How's that going to work out for anybody's addiction? That ain't going to work. Because porn on Tuesdays becomes porn on Mondays and Wednesdays. And then Sundays and Fridays or Thursdays. And it just seeps through and then it's every day. The days of Noah. So I wanted today, I butchered my notes. But anyway, like I said, I'm okay because you can come and I'll send you these notes. A lot more in these notes than what I got into. I want to give us a new vision today for holiness. I want to give us a new vision for the Spirit's work in the life of a believer. Some people say, oh, you know, I was raised in church. All I heard was those holiness messages. When was the last time anybody in Orange County heard holiness preached in the church? I don't remember. You know, it's like the people, I don't like those churches. They're always preaching hellfire and brimstone. Where? Not around here. I know, I get it. I know some people, well, what part of the country I was raised in. I guarantee you go back to the part of the country you're raised in, you're going to find that water's been added to the messages there too. It's going to be, we have to preach a message of holiness. The church is supposed to be holy. What does Paul say? He says, Ephesians 5:3, but among you, church, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity. This is Ephesians 5:3. Nobody ever quotes that as their life verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, you know? I mean, Psalm 91, people quote all. What if somebody said, you know, here's my life verse, but amongst you must there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality. Not even a hint. Some of us had a week with more than a few hints. But the good thing is that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from some unrighteousness, all unrighteousness. The Holy Spirit came to make us holy, guys. And a lot of us, that memo didn't get to us somehow. It got to us pretty late. Somebody needs to hear this message. And if you're like, well, they ain't me, I'm free. Great. You know about 100 people that need to hear this. I'm not saying they need to download, whatever. I have this message on my podcast. Over an hour of it talking about this thing. So you can direct them. You don't even have to be the messenger. Just point them to somebody else. But we can look people in the eyes and say, if you want to be free from your defilement, the only way that's going to happen is for you to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Not just one encounter. You know, it's like, I don't know if it was Billy Graham or one of them who said, why do you always talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit all the time, like regularly? He says, because I leak. We quench, we grieve, we quench, we grieve. Some of us have PhDs. I know how to quench the Spirit. I know how to grieve him. I know how to grieve him. I know how to whatever. I know how to get defiled. I can be defiled with the best of them. But Jesus wants to set us free, and then he wants us, you know, we can tell people, when you want to get free, we can help you. We can connect you. You will encounter God in such a way that you will be free. Jesus came to set captives free. Do we believe him? Was Jesus lying? He's just using hyperbole. Hyperbolic language there. Jesus was exaggerating. No, he never lied. If the Son sets you free, you might be free. No, you're free indeed. Right? So many verses come to mind. Now, here's my final thoughts on, I'm going to land this plane with a few verses from the Apostle Paul. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, now, when you get the Genesis 6 understanding and what was going on the day of Pentecost where Peter's preaching, hey men, repent, get forgiven, and save yourself from this perverse and wicked generation, all of a sudden you realize why Paul writes this. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality. And he goes in, he has a list, he lists 9 things there. 3 of the 9 are related to the defilement from Genesis chapter 6. Sexual immorality, adultery, and homosexuality. Can you imagine that we live in a culture, in a month, this month, And sadly, there are many, many Christian churches that have drunk the Kool-Aid on this whole issue as well. Many that actually believe that men can marry men and women can marry women and God's okay with that. Could you imagine normalizing? And Paul says, those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And to be honest, I realize the day is coming. And in Canada right now, it's the case. If I were to preach this in a church and they were to take this recording, I would be prosecuted. This would be considered hate speech. We have to be proud about this stuff. This is the stuff that Jesus came and died on a cross to set us free from, and we're going to have a month where we celebrate it? Are we not in the days of Noah? The body is not meant, Paul goes on to say, for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Do you realize that when Jesus cleaned us up with the blood, he cleaned us up so that the Holy Spirit could now reside within us? This is the mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is the mystery. He was not available before the cross to come and live within us by the Spirit. We were defiled. Can a holy God and unrighteousness coexist? No. Holy Spirit came to make us the residing place of the Spirit of God. So what is the plan? Paul says it. Verse 18. Flee from sexual immorality. Flee from it. A lot of times we're told to face something or fight it. Not in this case. It's run from this stuff. This stuff is nuclear waste, and it will defile you. How many of you guys knew, and I've gotten to know a guy who was there from the beginning. You remember Bill Hybels and Willow Creek Community Church, and you know, and that became a model for those of us that went to South Coast Community Church and that became merged with Mariners. Anyway, I remember back in the day, I was living in Chicago, and I went to Bill's church, and I remember he went in to start looking at what was going on with the whole pornography thing, and I remember he said, and somebody told me that I really needed to look into all of it and see what was really going on. You know how that worked out for Bill Hybels recently? It defiled him, and it destroyed his ministry. He didn't flee from sexual immorality. I'm not going to tell you, go out there and Google. Hey, go out there and look up. Don't Google anything. Flee from this stuff. Jesus said, if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. I remember I'm ministering to a guy who's addicted to porn in the Middle East, an Egyptian friend of mine, and I'm like, have you ever considered getting rid of your computer, getting off the internet? Because you cannot stop looking at porn. He said, I can't do that. When Jesus said, if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out, I think he was setting a standard that whatever it takes to get you free, you need to get free. Yeah, but then I wouldn't be up on the shows that everybody's watching. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Flee from sexual immorality, because every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies. This guy's an extremist. What are you talking about? You've got to be relevant. We got to be able to relate to people. Not in their defilement. Do you realize Paul did not write to flee this stuff because he realized if you get around this stuff, it will overtake you. Remember porn on Tuesdays. You won't forget that. That porn on Tuesdays. Like, nobody's like, hey, we're going to have a support group, but, you know, Tuesday's our cheat day. You know, I try to help people health and fitness stuff. Guess what? In the beginning, have that cheat meal or that, you know, cheat day. But, you know, eventually cheat days become cheat day before and after, and then cheat weeks and cheat months, and then I got to reboot. Oh, I got, all right. Okay, I see hands there. All right, let me just pray here. I think I've said enough. And I didn't know what I was going to speak on today, but last week, a buddy in Arizona, he texted me and he said, hey, I heard that message you gave on the Holy Spirit makes us holy, and wow, I needed to hear that. I need to hear that every day. And that's when I knew. That's what I need to share with the guys on this. Yeah. Okay, wait. Sit down. Let's pray. Father, I pray that your word right now would get root in us. Some of us, Lord, we know that we need to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus for stuff that happened this week, for stuff that happened last night. We understand, God, that we have partaken of the sins of a perverse and a wicked generation. But God, in this morning, God, we want to be free. We want to be clean so that we can be used of you to set other captives free. In Jesus' name, amen.